from San Diego, California, it's the Frugal Life Podcast with your host, Ricky Hershey.
Welcome to the Frugal Life. I've been reading the book Invested, the autobiography by Charles Schwab. In the book, Charles Schwab talks about how he started the firm Charles Schwab. The journey was a difficult one, and his competitors at the time, who made money on commissions, sought to discredit him at every turn as unreliable and disreputable. The brokerage Charles Schwab made was different. His brokers only made a salary plus a bonus for happy customers, whereas the other firms, their brokers, made a commission. And of course, a commission creates an incentive. And that incentive is for the broker to sell you the products that make them the highest commission. But I think that's kind of a topic for another episode. The journey Charles Schwab took was a difficult one. As a result of starting the company, or at least in part related to it, Charles Schwab's marriage ended in a divorce, and he put tremendous sacrifice into starting this company. And one thing, one insight I got from all of this is that Charles Schwab, while it's a big name now, it may not have been the best place to work when it was new and young. Everyone was overworked, working crazy hours. There were all sorts of problems. And maybe not a good place to work isn't the best way to describe it. Maybe I should say not a comfortable place to work. I think I've started to take away that an employer that is going places like Charles Schwab will have a lot of growing pains. And you may seek to avoid those growing pains, but you may miss out along the way. I think sometimes work is going to be painful, and that may be good for you at times. I know that was my experience working at the Big Four. It had crazy hours, but I learned a lot from it, and I'm glad for it, although I don't think I would run to do it again. Perhaps the expression, no pain, no gain, is true for work as well. Schwab takes a lot of steps to help democratize finance. By creating a product that had much lower fees than the existing products at the time, more people were able to invest. And Charles Schwab even believes that expanding ownership to a bigger slice of the U.S. population is an essential part of preserving democracy. I think there's a few steps necessary to understand why he might think that to be so, but investing in equities is one way that wealth can become distributed. If it was limited to just a few people getting more and more wealthy, it would be a problem. So I think he does have a point. I think it is critical that ordinary people are able to invest. And I think that does play a role in our democracy. Charles Schwab also talks about his experiences of his youth. One of those was selling insurance, which he did not like and he could not do. And he even says, I never liked selling a bad product and I've never been any good at it. And what an interesting thing for him to say and admit. Not that all life insurance is bad. There's certainly conditions when life insurance is good. It's just, I think the particular product he was selling did not align with his values. And so he quit, and good for him. All right, let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to share some of the simple truths Charles Schwab learned about investing. All right, welcome back. And now for simple truths learned by Charles Schwab about investing. Nobody can predict the movement of the stock market in the short term, but you can live with the short-term uncertainty if you believe, as I do, that companies are built to grow, the U.S. and world economies will continue to grow, the most important factors to put in your favor are diversification, time, and low cost. He goes on to explain, diversification lessens the risk that any one investment or asset class will harm you while capturing some of the growth of winning investments. Time captures the economy's tendency to grow and helps you get past the downturns and recessions that occur regularly over time. Low investment costs mean more of your money is working for you. And lastly, investing doesn't have to be complicated. Index investing is among the simplest ways to invest, and today there are also low-cost managed accounts that take care of all the investment decisions for you. And I really like these tips. They all sound really good to me, and it is sound investment advice. Although, disclaimer, this episode, like every other episode, is not investment advice. It's just general education. It's important as we invest to keep a level head, that corrections come. Charles Schwab, later in the book, talks about how he got comfortable with the roller coaster ride that comes with a market correction, and the resolve it takes to ride it through successfully. It's not easy, and I don't believe it comes naturally. I think we are at times prone to panic, and while we invest, it's important not to panic, to keep our wits about us, and to not do anything rash. Another part of the story that Charles Schwab tells with the story of Charles Schwab is that when the market did well, their brokerage did well. And when the market did poorly, the brokerage did poorly as well. And one of the funny stories he tells is that he had an employee of his that was responsible for signing leases to get office space for the brokers. And apparently Charles Schwab was buying so much office space and leasing so much office space that this employee appeared on the cover of a real estate trade magazine. Charles Schwab thought, what kind of disaster have we created for ourselves? And the gist is that they were just growing so much and leasing so much space. Apparently things got a little out of hand. So shortly after all of that happened, I believe there was, the dot-com bubble burst, and times got really tough for Charles Schwab, and they had to cut a lot of employees and get rid of a lot of that office space and really stick to their core values to get through. The firm Charles Schwab experienced a lot of growing pains, like I mentioned before. One of them that was initially great was being acquired by Bank of America. Eventually, though, Bank of America divested Charles Schwab, and Charles Schwab was able to buy back his firm. And he tells a lot of interesting stories, and I do recommend the book. It is an interesting read, and I thought it was insightful. But very much a story of Charles Schwab versus a book like Principles, I believe, by Ray Dalio, which is a completely different book. As I consider it, I think that comment might seem dumb, but the book is called Invested, right? It's not called The History of Charles Schwab. So you might conceivably believe that the book is about investing versus a book about the history of Charles Schwab. But I mean, more than that, right? The book is also talking about change to how Americans invest, because Charles Schwab changed the industry. In fact, when I think of a traditional brokerage now, Charles Schwab is who I think of, and the new emerging players are companies like Robinhood. And I think there's quite a few parallels between the young Charles Schwab and Robinhood. When Robinhood was new, people were skeptical of free trades, and eventually the paradigm shifted. It became the new normal, just as Charles Schwab's discount brokerage became the new normal. But likewise, now everyone offers free trades, and it's all because of one firm. All right, let's take one more quick break, and I will be back to wrap up. Welcome back. There's one final story I wanted to share from the book, and that is Charles Schwab found a successor and eventually transitioned out of the CEO role and just assumed a board seat. But at some point, the transition was not going well. The economy had changed and stock prices were going down and business was not looking good for Charles Schwab. And they had to make changes to executive management and they had to change the CEO. And the board put Charles Schwab back in charge of his company. Back under his care, things at the company eventually improved. But I think this little story highlights a few things. And one is that plans change. It can be difficult to plan ahead. And two, in some ways, when you create something like a company like Charles Schwab, you can never really fully let it go. At least in this case, Charles Schwab couldn't in the way that he thought he was going to. Eventually, though, he did find a successor. I do have to take a moment now to give a brief shout out to my coworker, Corey, who found me this book in our office. As I think I mentioned before, he may or may not have slightly stolen it from another coworker, Ron, which I actually don't know where Ron is now. Additionally, by the time this episode comes out, Corey will also be a former coworker of mine. But I'm recording the episode now and hopefully figuring out what to do with this book, because yeah, I don't really know. And if Corey's gone, I have no idea. So thank you, Corey. And thank you for listening to this episode of the show. I hope you have a great week, and as always, stay frugal.